Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Welcome to My World. It's a two-episode kind of day today here. It's Dominique right back with you. We've got a little bit of background noise again, and I apologize. Apparently, they are refurbishing some of the condos in my complex. So, but that's a good thing, right? Can't complain about that. Apparently, I'm getting granite countertops and stainless steel appliances. Can't complain. So, we have enough silence and enough space to go ahead with this show. I think it's very important that we do. We were speaking earlier today about a very important subject, dating, dating do's and don'ts, how to remain safe when you're dating, how to keep your wits about you when you're dating. And that is such an important topic, especially in today's day and age where we're meeting people that maybe we don't have a ton of background information about. We're having to get to know these people in an appropriate, respectful way, and there are just so many pitfalls and so many possible perils to navigate. So we're going to go ahead, without further ado, and discuss part two of my self-written dating Bible / dating Holy Grail. And I hope that it will help you. I hope that it will assist you on your journey and that it will help you to find happiness and confidence within yourself and with whoever it is that you choose to date. So here we go. Part two, archetypes to avoid. Archetypes to avoid. And archetypes, for those of you who are not aware, are basically personality types that contain really specific components that add up to a really specific result. So archetypes, for those of you who don't know exactly still what that word means, I hope that was an appropriate description, but if you'd like more information, I would suggest reading two books. They're short books, and they are very, very, very informative. Those books are Gods in Every Man and Goddesses in Every Woman. Basically, psychology and Jungian psychology, Carl Jung's real subject of interest was always archetypes and what archetypes are present in each person, in each human being. He suggested that we embody archetypes of the Greek gods and goddesses specifically, and that those, you know, archetypes were invented not to describe some huge, big, important god or goddess on top of Mount Olympus looking down at us from afar, but to describe the aspects of our own psyche that are present in all of us. Certain archetypes are more present in certain people than they are in others. But for now, for our purposes of dating and discussing what to avoid, what kind of people to avoid today, we're going to refer to the major archetypes, the major, major personality types that influence people. And there are truly some that really, really should be avoided at all costs. Not too many, but some. And if we're armed with this knowledge, we will be more successful in our dating endeavors. Forewarned is forearmed. So to start it off, the first archetype to avoid at all costs when you're dating is the nice guy or the nice gal. Now, this is something that certain writers call the nice guy TM or the nice gal TM or the nice guy copyright or the nice gal copyright. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek way of referring to somebody who sees themselves as the underdog and, oh, woe is me, poor me. I'm the nice person who really never gets to connect with anybody because everybody just takes advantage of me and overlooks my niceness and, oh, poor me, wow. So, this guy or gal has a heart of gold in their own estimation. they just keep putting themselves out there only to be crushed by all of those evil, evil, evil women or men that they date. The Stater has no concern for your likes, dislikes, wants, needs, emotions, or life situation. To them, dating is about one thing and one thing only, being acknowledged and not being alone. So very clearly right there, you can see that it's all about them. It's not about you at all. They may come across trying to present themselves as a general sort of type of person that you might be interested in. But it's always going to be general because they have no care and they have no interest in what specifically you're looking for. And that is a deal breaker, ladies and gentlemen. That is absolutely absurd. It is a deal breaker. These individuals, and I'll actually get on to some of the whys and what fors and what motivates these people to continue on their very immature life path. But basically, to this dater, you're a warm body and nothing more for them to use as needed when having someone good-looking, kind, or, you know, breathing and who has a pulse in a pinch is necessary. That simply suits their needs. You're a space filler, and that's all you are. It is all you are. And the sooner you realize that when dealing with this archetype, the better off you'll be because you can take steps to protect yourself and remove yourself from the situation. In their own mind, this nice guy or gal, TM, is a regular Cyrano de Bergerac. They are poetic, romantic, lovely, engaging, and shy, and they have a heart of gold. If only the Stater were to find that perfect someone who doesn't complain, never tells them when they're wrong, and who gives them a chance, even when the nice guy or gal is clearly not the person they're interested in, cup of tea. They don't care, basically. They don't care, ladies and gents, whether they're your cup of tea. They just want you to be there to tell them and reassure them of how romantic and sweet and kind and poetic and wonderful they are. And they just don't want you to complain. They don't want you to tell them when they're wrong. And they don't want you to tell them no, even if you're genuinely not interested. They don't care if they're not your cup of tea. They don't care if you're not interested. They are in this for very selfish reasons. And unfortunately, sadly, many of them don't fully grasp that. They don't fully grasp what their motivations are. It's always so important to evaluate our own motivations as well as the motivations of other people and of the people that we are interested in dating and or having in our lives in general. It follows that the Stater is selfish, ignorant, and self-obsessed in a rather ugly, shadow-aspect-y way. Since everything is always about them, of course, any rejection, either real or perceived, will be forever written into their personal narrative and their narrative about you. So it'll forever be written into the stories that they tell themselves about themselves. And it will forever be written into the stories that they tell themselves about you. Truly, this has nothing to do with you. This is about them. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. You should have given them a chance. No, absolutely not. If you're not interested, you don't owe anybody a chance. It is important to know that the selfishness of this dater is usually unintentional, but it stems from a lack of emotional maturity and situational awareness. This doesn't mean that you can or should attempt to fix them, as that in and of itself is inherently disrespectful and useless, and it's not a good way to deal with people. What you should do is make note of this and feel sorry for them. I mean, feel sorry for them. Feel for them. It's really unfortunate that this is the path that they are headed down. It really is. The Stater will never find true happiness until they grow up and learn to take responsibility for their actions and start working on genuine self-improvement. Now we've got another archetype, the scorned lover. The scorned lover. Excuse me. The scorned lover often shares a lot in common with the above archetype of the nice guy / nice gal TM. This guy or gal has been scorned and they want everyone to know about it. They're likely dating only in an attempt to get back at their supposedly evil ex-lover, spouse, or dating partner. You are but a means to an end to this foolish dater. Run for the hills. If you do allow this adorable individual into your life, be aware that you will soon be a story for him or her on one of their many future dates with someone else. So you will be the evil ex next time. So just don't engage with them. Walk off. Move on respectfully in the date. Don't give them any more of your time or energy if you feel that this is the person who's sitting in front of you. And I think that we're giving you enough information to be able to distinguish that. You know, use your own common sense, use your own emotional maturity and your own situational awareness and your own deductive reasoning and the capability to have meta processing and just good skills of discernment are going to serve you well in all areas of life, but particularly in dating and in deciding what people you want to surround yourself with in life. So this person has a lot of growing to do, and they want to hear nothing of it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't care. They're a nice guy or nice gal, and therefore they can do no wrong in their minds. They just keep opening up that big heart of theirs, and darn the luck, evil bastards like you keep stomping on it. It's all your fault. So really, don't waste time with this person. Move on. Now, the next archetype to avoid is something much more insidious than simply somebody without emotional maturity. Okay, this is a very serious situation. And if you run into these people, this type of individual, rather, run for the hills. Run for the hills. Run far and run fast. You don't owe them an explanation. You don't owe them a conversation. Run. This is the archetype that we all fondly know is the sociopath or the psychopath. Some people use those terms interchangeably. We're not going to get into semantics on that right now. But if you would like to know more about sociopathy, check out my blog, Welcome to My World, on blogger.com. And feel free to check out any book by Dr. Robert Hare, H-A-R-E. He is the top, really leading expert on sociopathy and psychopathy, and you'll learn a lot. You will save yourself a lot of pain and heartache if you do yourself a favor and read his books. And of course, check out my blog. I have posted about this. I've talked about this. It's a big issue, and especially for somebody who is a lifestyle consultant who helps people to mitigate the damage that problem personality types have done in my clients' lives. It just helps you, like I said, to avoid any uncomfortable situations with dangerous people. It helps you to avoid potentially dangerous situations. So be aware, get some knowledge about sociopaths, about psychopaths, about narcissists, about personality disorders, and you'll save yourself a lot of time and energy spent on this unfortunately very pervasive personality type. So let's start with the obvious. Sociopaths, psychopaths, even narcissists, they have no genuine feelings. None. None. Not a little bit, not a feeling here and there. None. Truly and honestly, they don't have feelings. Their brain has been made to function differently, and they genuinely do not experience emotions. It is impossible. I will repeat that again, impossible to form any sort of real or lasting bond with a narcissist or a sociopath. Sociopaths don't love. They don't even like. What they do is triangulate and target. Imagine that you are somebody who is wanted for a crime. Imagine that you're wanted for a crime and that the sociopath is the police officer, the FBI agent that's on your tail. What they do is they pick up signals from you, just like an FBI agent or a police officer would pick up your cell phone signal and try to triangulate where you are and pick you off and pick you up and put you away. That is what a sociopath does. They pick up signals from you that you might be an empathic, kind, caring, intelligent human being. and they triangulate, move in for the kill, and before you know it, your life may just be turned upside down. And I'm not exaggerating. It's truly a harrowing experience. In fact, 1 in 25 people in this nation are sociopaths. That is not good. So keep your deductive reasoning caps on, ladies and gentlemen, when you're out in the world. Look for the telltale signs that might indicate that you're dealing with the problem personality type, that you're dealing with somebody with a personality disorder. Sociopaths and narcissists seek out people who are caring, kind, intuitive, empathetic, empathic, successful, beautiful, handsome, sexy, wealthy, good at what they do in any way, etc. You get the picture. And try to take that person for all they're worth. If a sociopath or narcissist focuses their energy on you, either as a potential flying monkey to support them or as a target to destroy, run like hell. The only thing to do if a sociopath and or narcissist, yes, people can be both, that's called being a narcopath, targets you in any way, the only thing you can do is to go full stop, no contact. That means no responding to their attempts to goad you, no returning calls or messages of any kind, blocking them on social media and avoiding them at all costs. They will typically try to engage you with emotional pleas of, oh, I like you, I want you, I need you, oh, I've never connected with anybody so much in my life, we just connect so much, oh, we love the same things, this and that, why are you being so cold? But truly, what you need to understand is that they don't feel what they're saying. There's nothing behind what they're saying. They are simply saying what they think might work to get you back into their lives or to get you into their lives in the first place. Resist the urge. You're not going to get anything from this. Nothing. There are zero benefits of having a sociopath in your life or of being in their life. Zero. Hear me when I say that. There are zero benefits of having a sociopath or a narcissist or any combination therein in your life. Okay? Sociopaths and narcissists will sound charming at first, all while affecting a cool, dead-eyed stare. This is crucial. This is their game face. This is their go-to personality, which is nothing, baseline. If you were monitoring their personality like a doctor monitors a heart rate, you'd be flatlining. I mean, they'd be flatlining. You would see nothing. You would see no emotional connection, nothing. It would literally be a flatline. They will start and end eye contact because they know, you know, and they've probably been taught, they're smart as far as learning how to mimic social skills and mimic emotional depth. So many of them learn through life experience and through mimicking others that it is kind of creepy to just stare at somebody dead in the eye with no emotional reaction, not looking away, not blinking very often. I mean, that's creepy, right? So some of them learn this, and they'll start and end eye contact, but it's usually going to be, it's going to seem very unusual to you and very staccato and very just odd. It's going to seem like it's happening at odd and unusual intervals. So keep track of that. Make note of that. If somebody gives you that dead stare or if they start and end eye contact at unusual times and unusual intervals, it's very likely that they may be suffering from a personality disorder. Now, personality disorders, guys, are incurable. There's no cure for them, nor do these people want to be cured because they don't see that they have anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with them. In their own estimation, they're better than everybody else, and emotions are for weak people, and emotions cripple, and it's a scary thing to behold. This is another major thing that I deal with, is people who have been in relationships, either romantic or personal friendship, familial, any sort of personal relationship with sociopaths and narcissists. So I deal with this quite a lot, and I have become a little bit of an expert in my own right on this subject. And I take it very seriously because I want to help all of you avoid interactions like this. So they also, something else to keep your eye out for as far as determining whether somebody may be a sociopath or a narcissist, they may respond to you at unusual intervals and in unusual ways. just like I mentioned with the eye contact, there it's going to seem very odd. It's going to seem very staccato. Like there's no, they're just little blips of interaction. There's no real genuine connection, just little blips here and there. And then it dissolves and goes away. And then you wonder what the heck happened. Was there even any connection in the first place? This is because, as I said, they are mimicking human emotions since they don't experience it genuinely. Sociopaths and or narcissists will love bomb you. Love bombing consists of inundating you with messages of love, commitment, devotion, etc., without letting you come up for air or have any time to make your own decisions about whether, when, or how you want to get involved with them. Now, that's obviously a very important distinguishing factor. That tells me, and it tells you as the dater, that you are entering into an abusive relationship. If you tell a sociopath and or narcissist no, or if either of you break things off, they will revisit your connection later. They will do what's called re-idealizing, and they will revisit your connection later, likely over and over and over again. Sociopaths and narcissists, other than a flying monkey or two, and that kind of is a real terminology, other than those people that are peripheral characters that they simply use to accomplish things, other than those people, they don't really keep individuals in their lives. And the people that are in their lives cycle in and out. So that's another easy way to distinguish whether you're dealing with a sociopath or a narcissist or somebody who is normal. So this re-idealization will likely happen multiple times. They'll pull you back in, they'll dump you, they'll pull you in, dump you, and so on and so forth. The cycle repeats endlessly if you let it. So don't let it. If you are happy or in a relationship, that sociopath, that narcissist will target you. They will tell you how awful the person that you're in a relationship with is, how much you need this sociopath in your life, how much they need you, how they really messed up, and they're so sorry. But you know what? None of it is meant. None of it is genuine. None of it is real. They're simply trying to interrupt your happiness. And if you let them, then shame on you. Then shame on you. Now, I am not victim blaming, but what I am doing is telling you that if you don't use the skills that God gave you, or the universe gave you, or that you were born with, you're not doing yourself justice. So use them. Use them. Now, moving on to the narcissist. The narcissist does not feel as the rest of us do, just like the sociopath. They have no genuine feelings or emotions. It is impossible to form any sort of real bond with a narcissist or a sociopath. Narcissists also triangulate and target rather than loving or liking, rather than having any genuine emotion, no matter how good, cool, nice, sweet, kind, talented, beautiful, successful, authentic, et cetera, and so on and so forth you are. A sociopath and or narcissist will never and can never love or like you, ever. It is impossible. Inviting someone like that into your circle, into your life, will only cause harm and devastation for everyone except them, usually, including you. Go no contact and do so immediately. Never call a sociopath or a narcissist out. They will focus even more energy into destroying you. And when I say destroying you, I am not exaggerating. They truly want to... they truly want to destroy you. It's like Uranus eating his son Zeus, eating his children. They want to devour you, destroy, become you, because they can't have these genuine interactions. They want to use you for that, and it's just sad. It's sick. It's a terrible situation to get into. So go no contact. Don't respond to their shenanigans, and just simply go and maintain no contact. Never let these personality types romance or guilt you into dating them. No contact is the only solution. Moving on to the dependent. This dater is in love with love itself. They have to be in a relationship at all times, and if they're not, they're not happy. You will notice this dater cropping up in other areas of your life, perhaps as a friend, a family member, who disappears into their relationship du jour without fail every single time they date someone new. This stater gives chances to exes who have truly betrayed them. The stater may be a great person in certain ways, but they are incomplete. Something is missing from them as a human being. This stater is one that is as likely to up and leave you for an ex or for someone they've just met, if that person is willful and dominant enough, as they are to profess their undying love for you. That's a very unstable personality, folks. So watch out for that. This personality type is extremely likely to fall for a sociopath or a narcissist. And sociopaths often emulate this type of behavior themselves to pull healthy individuals in, hoping that their nurturing instinct will kick in and that you will bend your life around them. It is so important to have your information in your mind and to have this on hand so that you can easily distinguish whether you're dealing with a sociopath, a narcissist, or an actual dependent individual. As I said, sociopaths and narcissists will oftentimes emulate the actions and feelings of someone who is just a dependent or a codependent, which is actually pretty sick. Their identity is so intermingled. I mean, the actual codependent now. Their identity is so intermingled with the individual that they're dating at any given time that their sense of self, if they have any at all, is almost completely lost. So you can see why these types make good targets for sociopaths. And, of course, you can see why these types are just people that you don't, you know, want to involve yourself with. You can't fix people, and nor should you want to. As I mentioned, it's just not a very respectful way to look at people is, well, this person needs to be fixed, and I'm the one for the job. That's not respectful at all. And if you're looking at people that way, you need to examine your motivations. Again, it's so important to be aware of our own motivations. And if that is the way that you're looking at people and relationships, please examine your motivation. Examine your motivations. Now, moving on to the woe is me dater. This person has a tale of woe to end all tales of woe. Now, sociopaths share that in common as well. They'll tell you stories wherein they're the victim and how they'll tell you about all of their exes and how all of their exes are crazy and awful. And so, but don't be confused. You'll be able to discern the difference. If you've been out there dating, you probably already can. The woe is me dater has, as I said, a tale of woe to end all tales of woe. I just love that description because it is so apt. Do not try to tell your own sad story to this pleasant individual, as it will only be one-upped, usually with little to no acknowledgement on their behalf. Because darn it, their story is so much more important than yours, so shut it. Because they're really carrying a knife, so shut it. Do not expect this person to digest, think about, or even listen to anything you have to say. This individual is way too busy trying to come up with related or unrelated, if they're in a pinch, stories of woe and heartache. Then they have the time to listen to any of your petty bullshit. It might be the first date, but this guy gives zero fucks. He has zero fucks to give. Zero. Zero. That's a nice round number. Keep that in your head. This guy gives zero fucks. He will lay his absolute worst sob story on you up front in an attempt to garner attention, if not sex. Maybe he'll even get a cookie and a belly rub if he squeezes out enough crocodile tears and plays on your assumed motherly instinct enough. Wah. So this is somebody you want to avoid. Moving on. The Eeyore. This is another dating type to avoid. Oftentimes, Eeyores exhibit similar qualities to the woe is me type and the dependent type of daters. Usually, however, Eeyores have their lives together in many ways. They are genuinely looking to give and receive affection. The only thing stopping them is the incorrect and usually, sadly, deeply seated idea that they don't deserve love. This is unfortunate, and this belief crops up at the worst of times, often kneecapping the dater in question. Self-sabotage is unfortunately a major issue for this dater. It's a major issue. If they think they might become attached to you, they will quite literally throw every excuse in the book at you in order to sabotage your relationship before it even begins. If you do happen to form a good, healthy relationship with an Eeyore archetype, look at me going all Dao of Poo on your ass, guys. Hey, Google it. If you don't know what Dao of Poo is, you need to. Go Google it. But if you do happen to form a good, healthy relationship or a good attachment with an Eeyore archetype, the Eeyore will likely sabotage it at their first chance. Given the first chance, they will sabotage your relationship. If you're cheating or some sort of betrayal, at the very least, the more problematic symptoms are these, that they will betray you, that they will cheat on you. And unfortunately, this is part of their depressive nature. They are depressed individuals. Some of them truly are depressed and struggle with mental illness. And some of them, you know, that's just the personality type that they are. They're going to look at the pessimistic side of life at all times. Not that looking at the dark side of life isn't valuable. I mean, it is. So is looking on the bright side. But they are quite literally going to look at the pessimistic side of things almost all the time. So this is a problem that arises from their depressive nature. Is it possible for an Eeyore to heal themselves? Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the personality types that where, you know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel. So if you have one in your life right now, I'm certainly not advocating for you to give up on them. What I am advocating is for you to think twice if you do meet one in your dating adventures, because it's going to be an extremely difficult road with this type. Eeyores have genuinely been hurt. Most of the time they have genuinely been hurt by problem personality types in the past, which makes it tough for them to distinguish good people from bad people. Some Eeyores even struggle with, as I said before, mental illness. That in itself is not necessarily a deal breaker, but combined with other deep-seated issues, I think it may complicate an already difficult situation, if you ask me. So be very mindful when associating with an Eeyore. The next type of dater, problem dater, is Mr. or Ms. Social Skills. And I use that term facetiously because they don't have any. This dater will proudly proclaim his or her every thought out loud because obviously he or she has to prove their awesomeness to you. Obviously. And how better to do that than to ramble on senselessly, constantly, throughout each and every encounter you have together. Unfortunately, this dater doesn't possess the social skills or emotional awareness or maturity to realize or care that they're being a complete pain in the butt. This person may come across as a terrible communicator who refuses to talk or make eye contact, or this dater, as I said, will tell you all about the teddy bear that they still sleep with, wonder out loud why women or men don't find them attractive, go on at length about their exes and or their complete lack of dating experience or sex. This dater has no problem whatsoever, not only with telling you that they live with mom, but what their mom's precious advice was before they left for their date with you. Be yourself, honey. This dater will tell you all about their learning disability, their ADHD, their depression, their hemorrhoids, their acne, their irritable bowel, their shy bladder, and will pretty much discuss in depth every pompous, immature word of every opinion that they've ever had. If they're the kind that's going to talk at all, they may just, as I said, be the kind that's going to sit there. I mean, this is such an odd personality type. I have met guys that fit this type that just sit there, literally just sit there because they are so afraid of talking. I had one guy, for instance, in my personal life, in my dating experience, who was a great texter, great to talk on the phone with, but when he was with me, he would just sit there. And then he would text me later with all these really clever things and, you know, how he really enjoyed his time with me, but he's just so shy in person, and can we just text? I was like, oh, no, honey, that's not a relationship. We can't just text. Well, I'm too nervous in front of you. I was like, well, you know, I think that might be a sign that you need to deal with that issue. Go seek counseling, seek treatment. And I believe he meant it. I don't think that was a way of him putting me off. I truly think that he meant that he truly thought that we could continue to date by texting and calling each other, which was actually really sad. But then, as I mentioned, there is that other sort of opposite end of the spectrum in which these personality types also reside, where they just go on about everything. They have no filter. They're nervous talkers. They're kind of immature, well, very immature. They're kind of arrogant. And at the same time, while being arrogant, they also have low self-esteem. Yeah, It's an interesting type for sure, and not one you want to deal with. I've tried to give one this type a chance way too many times in my personal life, and it never works out. Nor does it ever work out for my clients or my friends or my family members. So just do yourself a favor and ditch this guy or gal. They've got a lot of learning and growing to do, and hopefully they will do that. You are what this dater is looking for in a mate, which is all that matters to them. If they're not what you're looking for, then you're a selfish jerk who is unfeeling and unkind when you politely decline further interaction with them, since you aren't both feeling the connection. And that's on you, because you're horrible, by the way. Hashtag sarcasm. It is likely that you will be either told off, treated poorly, harassed, or bugged to lay out each and every reason in painstaking detail that you had to decline further interaction with this person. They have to go over this in detail in their mind. And really, they don't seem to realize or care that you don't owe them an explanation. If you don't get on with somebody, you don't owe them an explanation. And guess what? If they tell you no, they don't owe you an explanation. You don't owe each other anything. And this personality type is just, people who embody this are going to have to get over that and get past that. Because if they don't, they're going to miss out on a lot of happiness in life. And I think it's possible for this personality type to grow. It's just that when you encounter them, they're at a stage where they're not ready for you. So don't sit there thinking, oh, I can fix this person. That's not respectful. That's not kind. Let it go. If they're meant to see you or date you, or if you really like them in some way, maybe they'll come back to you when they're ready. Maybe not. Yeah. This personality type might well morph into one of the above problem personality types given time, though. So as likely as they are to get help, they're just as likely to either stay the same or turn into a really, really tough personality type. So you don't want to mess with this, folks. You don't want to mess with this. The most important thing to remember in all of this is that you deserve to be treated respectfully and well, as long as you aren't treating other people otherwise. Dating is about both parties finding the right person within one another. Consent is key. Mutual agreement is key. Anyone who says otherwise is not worth your time, folks. So that's the gist of it, and that's where we're going to end this segment, part two of the Dating Bible / Dating Holy Grail. I hope that you've enjoyed this, and I hope that it's helped you, and I will connect back with you later this week or next. We'll be talking about the upcoming primary on Saturday, the 27th, and of course, we'll be talking on Super Tuesday, March 1st. So, lots to talk about. Hope you'll hang in there and join us for that discussion. Thanks, and have a great afternoon.